You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, joined by Matt Brodsky. He is today a senior analyst at Wikistrat. He formerly was the director of policy for the highly regarded Jewish Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and editor of JPC's journal In Focus Quarterly. He was also associated for a time as a Legacy Heritage Fellow at the American Foreign Policy Council. Always welcome here. Matt, good to have you back.
Good to be with you.
Well, you have been following closely the machinations with respect to Iran, aimed ostensibly at keeping them from getting the bomb. The Senate of the United States, as we were talking about a moment ago with Diana West, has decided not to exercise the kind of authority that the Constitution gives it on a treaty. And what I'm really struck by is that at the same time this is happening, that it's sort of creating a blank check for the president on this bomb business, Iran is seizing what it thought was an American vessel in the Strait of Hormuz. Matt Brodsky, if this is how they're behaving before they get the bomb, what is it likely to be like once they have it?
It's going to be incredibly bad, especially with the infusion of money that we're going to provide for them, a $50 billion signing bonus. And there's no way that we have any assurance as to where the money that they're going to get is to be spent. So for the White House to try to claim that, well, the money won't go to their nuclear program or it won't go to supporting terrorism, which is what they do, just as that's their reason, that's because they support terrorism.
Who they are.
Right. So to claim that that money won't be spent that way, when you look at the arms coming in to Gaza, when you look at the arms coming in and their own personnel going into Syria, into Lebanon, it's a fantasy to believe that it all won't be spent in terrorism. And they're already doing that today, and that's without a cash windfall. And let's not also forget that this latest, the deal with the Maersk Tigris ship, this also follows an incident from Friday when Iranian warships surrounded, but they didn't board, another large Maersk ship. It was the U.S. flagged Kensington. So this is they're essentially acting like pirates now, like Somali pirates. And it's an indication of how they're going to act once a deal is signed.
And their current contempt for us, which can only be increased by our conduct in the meantime. Matt Brodsky is our guest. He is a senior analyst at Wikistrat and a serious student of matters involving the Middle East and notably what is afoot at the moment with respect to Iran. And you have been writing some very important, you know, sort of warning articles about what seems to be afoot, Matt, with respect to this idea that we will continue to have some kind of sanctions regime on the Iranians, and to the extent that it is in fact eased or dismantled, whether conditionally or otherwise, that not to worry, the administration assures us, they will all snap back into place. What is going on here, and should we credit this at all, given what we know is afoot at the moment?
The snapback sanctions are a fiction. It's literally an economic tooth fairy. There are no mechanisms for sanctions to snap back. And here you have to understand the different types of sanctions there are. First of all, the United States sanctions, we already let up on some, and that's what brought Iran to the table. Those were really effective sanctions. But there are ones passed through the president through executive order, so he just makes his own, and there are ones through Congress. Most of the sanctions the United States has with regards to Iran has to do with all kinds of other behavior, including their support of terrorism, weapons proliferation, human rights. And these are wrapped into a large sanctions package through Congress. So it would literally force the president, according to the law, to come to Congress and say, okay, they've stopped supporting terrorism. Well, as we know from the previous segment and what's happening in Yemen, they're not going to stop their support of terrorism. So you can't. The president can't just take away congressional sanctions. And on an international level, the United Nations, the six Security Council resolutions that have been passed with 12 years of painstaking efforts from the international community, once those erode, that provides the that is what the European Union and the rest of the world looks to keep their sanctions in place. Once they're gone, they're gone. They're going to have businesses that are already lined up to do business, whether official business such as Russia selling the S-300 missile system, or China wanting to sell nuclear, basically to build up their nuclear program after the deal, they're going to have businesses rushing in, and that pressure on European governments is not going to be able to snap back, and the U.S. will have no control over it, so we'll go to the United Nations, and who is going to have veto power there? Vladimir Putin.
And the Chinese, as well as the British and French, for that matter, if they choose to exercise it. So, Matt, just to give us a sense of the magnitude of this problem, as I understand it, quite apart from the sanctions, and I think you're right, they are eroding as we speak. The president seems intent upon removing the ones that he can, and they seem, as I understand it, to include some congressional sanctions, at least, which have waiver authorities for the president. But quite apart from all of that, there's supposed to be, even absent the signing bonus, something on the order of $12 billion that we will have transferred in this current phase of negotiations. And then the possibility of another, as you have indicated, $30, maybe $50 billion for signing some sort of deal. And you really have struck what I think is the most important point. That is, this will migrate, whether it's simply through the fungibility of money or whether it's through direct transfers, into a whole host of activities that are inimical to American security. In fact, we have a spot that we released today that talks about this. You can check it out at irantruth.org or at securefreedom.org, folks. It's a powerful point made that there's not only this problem with the Iranians, of course, there's also the problem with the United States Senate going along with what President Obama is trying to do. Hey, Matt, let me switch gears with you in the last minute or two we've got. You've also been worrying properly about another problem in the Middle East, and that is the efforts that the Palestinians are making, again, it seems once more emboldened by our own government, to think that the UN can be used as a means of essentially end-running negotiations with Israel and achieving a longstanding goal of a Palestinian state. Tell us the latest on that, and what role is the U.S. government playing in that regard at the moment?
Well, this is part of the Palestine 194 plan, which is to become the 194th state recognized at the UN. And this has been a longstanding plan. So, of course, it is to circumvent negotiations with Israel. The goal is to vilify, isolate, and persecute Israel at the International Criminal Court. And essentially, if you claim to support their statehood, those who do, this initiative doesn't help. It perpetuates the conflict. It keeps the conflict going because it requires nothing of them. They just get to sit back and wait for more pressure to be applied to Israel. While nothing happens, they pay absolutely no price. That absolutely must change. Now, the United States part, since Netanyahu has been reelected, is to say that perhaps they will support UN resolutions that force the framework on Israel and the Palestinians. Who knows if either side would accept that? I doubt either side would go for it. But it's a dangerous area where a president who has so misread the region on almost every single issue would be laying down a framework for peace.
Right. It really raises the question, and we'll be talking about it more momentarily with Rick Manning, about whether anything that this president touches in the way of an international negotiation or effort to achieve some sort of international understanding can be trusted, can be seen to be in the national interest of the United States. And it gives me no pleasure to say this. Unfortunately, I don't see any evidence that that's the case. Matt Brodsky, your insights into what is happening and likely to happen in the Middle East are greatly appreciated by all of us here at Secure Freedom Radio. I hope you will come back to us again soon. Keep up in the meantime the good work you are currently engaged in at Wikistrat. As I mentioned, Rick Manning's up next on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. What to expect from it and what to do about it. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.